In this chapter, we have David keeping his covenant with Jonathan, though Jonathan is long dead, doing good to the house of Saul. Hear now the word of Almighty God, 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lo Debar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Thus far the reading of God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. May the Lord bless us in the reading and hearing of it. Here in verses 1 through 4, we have David's kind inquiry after those left of Saul's house and his discovery of Mephibosheth through the agency of Ziba. Notice there in verse 1, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now put yourself in David's shoes. You are prosperous. Your kingdom is exalted. You are as one of the great men of the earth now. Your enemies leave you alone, more or less. And yet, what does he busy himself with? Doing good. And good not merely in the generic sense, but good in the sense of he made a covenant. He had an agreement. He entered into a league with his friend Jonathan. And he is loyal to this covenant. In fact, you'll recall Jonathan stipulated that he would not destroy his house but do good to them in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 15. David is keeping covenant. Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, verse 2. Ziba, we will find, is a godly, faithful, and loyal servant. In fact, when the son of David comes to commit mutiny and to cast him off his throne, Absalom, Ziba is one who comes to his help. He comes to bring him food and to give him good things that he might need as he escapes. We'll read of this, God willing, in 2 Samuel 16 and 19. Ziba was a perpetual slave. We know this because if he were a Hebrew who had not chosen to remain a perpetual slave, he would have been manumitted long ago. Saul is dead for how long now? There was war for 7.5 years. That's enough for him to be manumitted if he were a Hebrew. So very likely he is either a Gentile or he is a Hebrew who chose, according to Exodus 21:6, to stay within his master's house. The king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And notice his answer. Does he mention his name? Does he give himself some kind of credit about the good things or who he is? No. "Thy servant." And you'll notice there in your English Bibles, the word "is he," or those two words, "is he," are in italics. That means they're not in the original. All he says is, "thy servant," which is a slave, a bond slave. "I am thy slave." That's who I am. That's what I am. Very humble, in other words. He sees himself as the slave of David, not even naming himself. David wants to show, verse 3 tells us, the kindness of God unto him. Now, this word for kindness is chesed. It means to be faithful to your word. It means to do what you promise, what you covenant, what you contract, what you swear to do. You will faithfully do what you have promised. And this word chesed is used of God himself. His loving kindness we read of in the Bible. This is the same word. Now, David says that this chesed, this kindness, this fidelity to his covenants is of God. And this is extremely important. I will show him the loyalty of God himself. Now, there are two words I want you to write down or at least attempt to remember. One is called the archetype. The archetype. That is where something is original. It is the first thing. It is the thing from which all copies are made. This is called an archetype. Then there is something that we call ectype. So archetype, let me spell that for you. A-R-C-H-E-T-Y-P-E. Archetype. The first type. That's what God is. Man is an ectype. Ek meaning out of. E-C-T-Y-P-E. Ectype. That is a copy made of the original. And this is extremely important for us understanding the entirety of the Bible, especially its teaching on ethics and on doctrine. God is the great original. All theology is in him archetypally. He knows all things, all truth. God has given to us an ectypal theology. He's given us from his original mind, because we can't grasp it all, he's given us a limited copy of that original, and that we call the Bible. It is the ectype. Now, in ethics, God is the great archetype of ethics, and we are a copy of that original, a limited, finite copy, and yet nonetheless a copy. So when God shows kindness, David is saying, I must show kindness as God shows kindness. Is God faithful to what he promises to do? When he swears, does he keep his covenant? Yes, he does. So we, with our neighbors, if we give them our word of promise as David gave to Jonathan as an ectype of God, the archetype, he must be a copy of God, and so must we. God is the primary and original. We are secondary or derivative of his original and absolute righteousness. He is the first cause. We are the thing caused. This mercy, this loyalty to your word, is commanded by God, enabled by God, pleasing to God, and is encouraged by God by his own example. I note then that keeping our words, whether in marriage, as those members of the church who take vows, me or others as elders who take vows when we come into our office, whether you're a magistrate or whether a friend or anything you give your word to anyone, whether you swear or you don't swear. God requires that we keep our word, that we keep our covenants, that we reflect the image of God. Even, in fact, when it's hard, the Psalms inform us. The righteous man swears to his own hurt and changeth not. Oh, you know, things got hard in this word I gave. It's time for me to get out. Things aren't as easy as I had imagined being a pastor or a member of a church or a husband or a wife. Oh, I need to get out of this now because this just isn't working out the way that I thought. Did you make a covenant? Did you give your word? God hereby rebukes men as if they had no responsibility in their hard times. This also rebukes men who think that they can keep covenant with God himself. I can make my resolutions, I can give my word, and I will faithfully perform my end of the bargain. Do you know what we call that? Synergism. It's where man cooperates with God and covenants with God, and therefore he can keep his covenant and God will reward him for faithfully performing his promises. Can men do that? Maybe Adam could have done it. He could not make a covenant with God. God had to make that with him. But he could have at least kept the covenant that God made with him. Can fallen men keep covenant with God? No, they cannot. But they must keep covenant with their neighbor. We can make and we can keep covenants only with our equals. God not being our equal, we can neither make nor keep covenants with him. But let us, as God requires in reflecting his righteousness, keep the kindness of God with our neighbors. Swear even to your own hurt and do not change, Psalm 15:4. Let us be faithful and loyal to our word when we give a promise, especially vows to God, oaths of marriage, but any word we make whatsoever. The kindness of God, he says. Ziba informs David as he expresses his desire to show the kindness or chesed of God unto the seed of Jonathan. He says this, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Do you remember when Abner was making a league with David? It mentioned this man, that when he was 5 years old, his nurse took him. The news came of Saul and Jonathan and all of his brothers' death. The child was taken and dropped, and he became lame on his feet, and here he is, Mephibosheth, which, by the way, means one who destroys idols. It would be like naming your son Iconoclast, Mephibosheth. Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar, Ziba says in verse 4. Now, Machir himself was not merely loyal to the house of Saul, he will also be loyal to the house of David, 2 Samuel 17, 27 through 29. He will be another one when David is chased out of Jerusalem by his son Absalom. Machir will come to his aid. Now, the word Lodabar, in Hebrew, the word lo means absolutely not. In the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not is the word lo. You will never, ever do this. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. It's an absolute denial. It's an absolute negation. Lo. And then what does it say? Debar. Pasture land. No pasture here. Here is the son of the former king, where there is no green grass, a barren land, cut off from his inheritance, dispossessed by the house of David. Some believe that this man, Machir, was the sister of Bathsheba. The Amiel mentioned here in 1 Chronicles is also mentioned, chapter 3, verse 5 of 1 Chronicles, as the father. Amiel, the father of Bathsheba, is also, we believe, perhaps Amiel, the father of Machir. David then shows kindness to Mephibosheth when Mephibosheth is brought to him, verses 5 through 8. David fetched him from Machir's house, verse 5. And notice the response of Mephibosheth in verse 6. When he was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Now, can you imagine? You're from the rebellious house of Saul. Your house waged war. In fact, Amiel's son Machir, his house is where the fighting was from, where the kingdom of Saul's son, where he had his headquarters. So he might expect, here I come to David to die. I'm going to be crushed and destroyed. And what does he do? He goes down. He humbles himself. He shows respect for David. David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, what? The great son of King Saul, your rival to the throne. Is that what he says? No. Thy servant, thy slave. Not royalty any longer. He properly assesses before David his condition. I am your slave. I'm at your disposal. Do with me as you will, in other words. And notice what David says. Fear not. Stop fearing. Don't be afraid that I will destroy you and read out your doom and off with your head. No, have no fear. Grace has been given to you, Mephibosheth. For I will surely show thee kindness, that is, there's our word again, chesed. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And this is a Hebrewism when it says surely, that means it repeats the word. Showing, I will show thee kindness. It's repeated for emphasis. It's absolutely certain that I will show thee chesed. I will be loyal to my covenant with Jonathan, and for his sake you shall be blessed. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. When you raise war against a lawful king, all your goods are confiscated. So the house of Saul, what did they do? They raised war against the lawful king ordained by God himself, and they fought and fought and fought against the word and promise of God. What happened to their lands? David owned them now. He confiscated all their goods. What is David doing? Giving back what was justly taken away from him. I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. What you lost by rebellion, what is confiscated justly by me, is given to you. Though you deserve the opposite, do not fear, Mephibosheth, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I will adopt you as my son. I will feed you at my table. I will restore to you all that you lost by your rebellion. Does this sound familiar? David is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does he deal with the rebellious, the ruined, the dispossessed, the disabled, the doomed sinners? What does he do? He adopts them. He feeds them. He pardons them. He gives them an inheritance greater than the lands of Saul himself. Let us believe in this greater son of David. Let us receive of his chesed, of his loyalty to his word. Not for our sakes do we receive all this good, but for the sake of the covenant entered into with someone else, and we receive his goods. Notice the response to this gracious gift by King David. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? Now, this looking upon means merely to turn your face toward me. I'm not even worthy for you to turn your face upon me, David, because I am worthless, unclean, useless, dead. That's what a dead dog is. Dogs are unclean animals, but you know they have their uses for the Jews, right? They can send them out to get their sheep in. They can use them to ward off all kinds of evil beasts that might destroy their flocks or their homes or their children. Dogs have their use, though they were unclean. But I, he says, am useless. I am unclean, and I am dead. Is this how we see ourselves in the light of the grace of God? Do we see ourselves as deserving of nothing but judgment and wrath? I dare say we might profess we do, but do we actually see ourselves this way? I don't think so. We see ourselves as not so bad as those people over there. Perhaps, you know, we're sinners, but I can't really think of my sins. You know, they're not that big of a deal after all. Maybe I sin every once in a while, but whew, those people, they're awful. What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a unclean dead beast as myself, who has lost all usefulness? I note then that gospel grace humbles the sinner. Gospel grace shows us what we are, disabled. It shows us what we have done. We've rebelled. It shows us what we deserve, our doom to be read and our lives and goods confiscated. Let us then humble ourselves. Let us receive that abundant grace of God in the greater Son of David, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us receive it with humility, with reverence, with joy, and with a proper self-image as dead dogs. David then makes kind provision for Mephibosheth and for his house in verses 9 through 13. I have given unto thy master's son, here David speaking to Ziba, all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Now remember, Saul had several sons, didn't he? Not just Jonathan. And yet Jonathan's son receives the whole household, all the house of Saul's inheritance, now given to him, grace abounding. Ziba is instructed in his and his household's duty in verse 10. Ziba agrees faithfully to execute the king's commandment in verse 11. And then verse 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Now notice there in your Bible in verse 11, the words said the king, they're in italics. That means they're not in the original. They're not in the text of Hebrew. The Westminster Annotations note on this, it is plain that it was the king's speech. Now remember, at the verse 11's beginning, it says that Ziba's talking, and then it transitions, and our Bible adds, said the king, rightly so. It is plain that it was the king's speech, and so well expressed in our translation by adding, said the king, unto the original, seeing it is added in the text, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. For the king's sons did not sit at Ziba's table. If Ziba were talking, that's what it would be saying. Ziba's saying they'll eat at my table. No, David's saying he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Now Mephibosheth was given a son whose name was Micah, though lame upon his feet, blessed by God with a son and a posterity through Micah, 1 Chronicles 8, verses 34 through 40, and chapter 9, verses 40 through 44, we see Micah's posterity. And Mephibosheth, verse 13, informs us, did eat continually at the king's table, and notice it brings us back to his disability, and was lame on both his feet. Though disabled, disinherited, his father's house rejected, David graciously receives him and adopts him as his own son, nourishing him at his table. Let us rejoice in God's grace revealed in these types and shadows through David. Let us rejoice in the fullness of the time God sending his son, his beloved son, as a gracious redeemer, the sole and only covenant keeper with God, who though he had every right to come in judgment and to destroy us, yet God sent him not to destroy and to judge. Why did he come? To put away sins, to bring in everlasting salvation, not to destroy the rebellious, and despite our disability to adopt us into his household, to feed us at his table, and to give us an inheritance. And thus far, the exposition of this ninth chapter of 2 Samuel.